Blog Talk Radio.
If it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com, PWTorchDailycast.com. I am Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks here with you on Sunday, March 10th, 2019, as we have just completed WWE Fastlane, the final stop on the road to WrestleMania. Of course, if you don't count all the Raw and SmackDown stops in between now and then. Thank you for joining us here on this late Sunday evening. Don't forget, if you want to call in and express your views about a somewhat controversial WWE Fastlane, 515-605-9345 is the number to do that. If it's too late for you, you got to go to bed, you got to get up, go to work tomorrow morning, don't have enough time to stay on the line, WNIALivecast@gmail.com is where you can direct emails, and I will address them throughout the show. Remember, if you are calling and you would like to talk, press 1 on your dial pad. Otherwise, you'll just be on listening, which is fine, too. But just want to make that distinction. And you can find me on Twitter at Greg M. Parks. I tweeted throughout Fastlane. You can get my thoughts and opinions on these shows before we even come to Wrestling Night in America. So that is another way you can contact me. But WWE Fastlane tonight began with the one pre-show match. It was supposed to be two. Andrade versus Rey Mysterio was turned into a four-way match for the United States title, including Samoa Joe and R-Truth, that was moved to the main card. So the lone pre-show match saw Big E and Xavier Woods of the New Day take on Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. That was a match that was won by the New Day. Kofi Kingston was waiting to talk to Vince McMahon backstage. So there was some intrigue there as to what, if anything, would come out of that meeting. And we saw that a little later on in the show. Fastlane began with the Usos taking on Miz and Shane McMahon in a SmackDown Tag Team title match. This ended up being a memorable match for the Miz, being a cruiserweight, flying all over the place. Shane McMahon's top rope dropkick of one of the Usos as he was to come down onto the Miz with a splash. In the end, the Usos get the win, get the pin on the Miz. Shane McMahon was the one who turned heel. So the long-awaited heel turn did take place here tonight, although it was Shane McMahon who turned heel. I think most people were looking at this and thinking the Miz was probably the one, that maybe this whole idea of teaming with Shane McMahon was a setup. But in the end, it was Shane who turned heel. Good crowd reaction to that turn. Granted, it was in Cleveland, the Miz's hometown. You know, it's an odd choice for me on first blush with Shane McMahon joining Stephanie and Triple H and Vince and having matchmaking power. And it seemed like all the McMahon family were going to be banding together against the Vince McMahon random decision-making generator that he has become over the last few months. And this kind of turns that idea on its head a little bit. Maybe Shane sides with Vince against Stephanie and Triple H. That's a direction that could end up happening, but likely to get Shane McMahon versus The Miz now at WrestleMania. It'll be interesting to hear Shane's reasoning for turning on The Miz here after he had been talked into teaming with The Miz in the first place. Match number two was for the SmackDown Women's Championship, Asuka defending against Mandy Rose, and Asuka winning that match. There was a unique finish here as Mandy slipped on the ring apron. Sonya Deville was ringside, searching underneath the ring at various points in the match, finally bringing out a kendo stick. And the ring skirt was up, and Mandy slipped on it, which led to Asuka getting the victory. There was some dissension teased in the post-match between Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, which would be two matches in a row where partners, if not outright broke up, they tease some sort of dissension. So that will be something to keep an eye on, although I'm getting a kick out of Mandy and Sonya as a duo. I think they're fantastic. Match was okay. I would say Mandy has come a long way in her in-ring work. The strikes were really good. The kicks and the knees were really good in this match. So I thought the match was good for what it was. She's not a lot of momentum behind Asuka right now with how she's been portrayed on SmackDown, or not portrayed on SmackDown lately, as it were. So Kofi Kingston finally went backstage and saw Vince, and Vince said, you know what, Kofi, you're right. We're going to make it a triple threat match. So Kofi's excited. The crowd's excited. They think it's a triple threat match. He said the match is going to happen right now. So he sends Kofi out there for a match. And it wasn't a triple threat match per se. Instead, it was a two-on-one handicap match, and it was not for the WWE title, as we all assumed, though Vince did not say specifically that's the match involving Kofi that he was making. Said it was the bar in a two-on-one match against Kofi Kingston. The crowd was not happy with this swerve. This is boring chance during the match, which the bar basically dominated, save for a few hope spots from Kofi. Big E and Xavier Woods came to the ring ringside late after being barred from ringside by Vince earlier in that meeting. They were taken out by their pre-show opponents, Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura, eventually the bar getting the victory. I thought this was interesting in so far as tracking crowd after this match and how they would be, whether it would bring them down for the rest of the show. Credit to them, it did not. They were down for a little while, but that did not hurt them in the long term. There is a very easy story to be told with Kofi Kingston, the 11-year veteran, trying to scratch and claw his way into the WWE title picture in WrestleMania season. There is also a very roundabout and at best convoluted way to tell that story, and that seems to be the direction WWE is taking here. I don't think Kofi lost anything by the angles and what happened tonight, but you sit back as a viewer and you think to yourself, there's got to be an easier way. There's an easier way. WWE just seems to want to make it harder on themselves with the stories they're telling and throw a bunch of roadblocks to their own storytelling in there rather than just taking the easy road. And that's kind of how it felt with Kofi tonight. Again, I don't think he came out of this show less than when he went in, and you could even make the argument that he is a hotter commodity now based on the roadblock thrown in front of him here tonight. But again, the sacrifices that were made with Mustafa Ali, with Kevin Owens, and even if they were short-term sacrifices, to get the fans to rally behind Kofi, was it worth it? Was the incremental increase in Kofi's overness that came out of tonight worth sacrificing Mustafa Ali and Kevin Owens, even if it's just short-term? I think that's a big discussion point that's going to come out of tonight, and it may be a big discussion point tonight here as we take emails, as we take phone calls. Match number four was the Raw Tag Team title match, the Revival retaining over Chad Gable and Bobby Roode and Aleister Black and Ricochet in a three-team match. If there was anything taken from this, I think it's maybe that the Raw Tag Division isn't as dead as we once thought it was, especially if Black and Ricochet stay as a team and they stay on Raw. They could be a real boon to the Raw Tag Team Division going forward. This was a really nice match. None of the titles on the line tonight changed hands, by the way, just something to throw out there as we talk about tonight's show, which was counting the pre-show 10 matches deep, and all the matches except the Raw Universal title and the IC title were defended here, and the Raw Women's title, rather. Match number five was Samoa Joe retaining the United States title over R-Truth, Rey Mysterio, and Andrade. This is about what you'd expect from these four, which is not an insult that it sounds like it is, but it is in fact a compliment because the expectations would be high for these four in the match. Joe ended up submitting Rey Mysterio. Match number six was the Raw and Sasha Banks defeating Nia Jax and Tamina with Beth Phoenix on commentary. This was rough in spots. Another post-match attack here, which was the theme of the night. Lots of post-match attacks. Bayley ended up pinning Nia with a Hurricanrana. Beth Phoenix was beaten up post-match. Natalya tried to make the save, but she was beaten down as well. So it looks like Beth and Natty either getting a shot at the women's title, tag titles at WrestleMania, perhaps doing something with Nia Jax and Tamina at WrestleMania. I don't know. But that's now that Beth Phoenix is in the mix, that changes the trajectory, I think, of the women's tag division. Match number seven was the WWE title match, and it was a triple threat match. Many people expected Kofi Kingston to come back out for this one, to be worse for wear, given the beatdown from Cesaro and Sheamus. However, instead it was the returning Mustafa Ali who took Kofi's place, if you even want to consider that Kofi's place in this match. Crowd not happy about that. Lots of "we want Kofi" chants early. But eventually the match was so good with three top-tier performers that the crowd acquiesced and they came around on this match. Bryan ended up pinning Ali after a mid-air knee collision. Ali went for a jumping move. Bryan met him in mid-air with a knee. Another really good match one here tonight. Match number 8 was Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair. Becky gets the victory by disqualification. She was limping. Her arm was hurt. Her leg was hurt. Her ribs were hurt. Charlotte took advantage, did some first-class trash-talking throughout the match. In the end, Ronda interfered for a blatant disqualification, giving Becky the match, as it's been played up that Ronda has long wanted Becky into the match. So this is a way to put Becky into the match at WrestleMania and make it a triple threat. Elias, at various points during the show, would do very quick interstitials, music played in the ring in between matches. Here, Lacey Evans came out at the end of one of his performances and did her usual waving to the crowd. And then Orton out of nowhere with an RKO, and then even more out of nowhere, perhaps, AJ Styles with a flying forearm to Randy Orton. So Styles-Orton still looks like the direction for WrestleMania. And in the main event, The Shield defeated Drew McIntyre, Lashley, and Baron Corbin. This was basically a match of The Shield's greatest hits. I think it was what people wanted to see. Viewers at home wanted to see. Viewers in the arena wanted to see. The triple powerbomb ended up winning it. No swerves, no turns, nothing of that sort here on the main event. So from a match quality perspective, especially once you get past The Bar and Kofi, in match number 3, this was a really, really solid in-ring show. I think the mileage is going to vary based on how you felt the booking of Kofi Kingston went. And that's going to be a topic of discussion, no doubt, going forward here on Wrestling Night in America for March 10th, 2019. Once again, that number to call if you'd like to give your thoughts on Fastlane, 515-605-9345. Make sure to press 1 to get in the queue. And, of course, we are on email as well, wnialivecast@gmail.com. So without further ado, let's go to our first call of the evening. It is the 478 area code. It is Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, good to talk to you tonight.
How you doing tonight, Greg?
I'm doing well. Darrell, I know you got some strong thoughts on Fastlane tonight, so I'm going to let you have the floor.
Great way to end the end the show. I can say that. But, you know, it was a lot of stuff that was hard to deal with throughout the show. The last match that you were just talking about with not the last match, but with Kofi and Kevin Owens and all of that. I know we talked about this last week and how they don't tell stories. And again, they showed again. Like, I don't understand. Maybe you can help me out understanding. Why would they sacrifice two to make one who's already hot seem hotter and seem like this is what they meant to do when they already had the perfect setup already? Would be a question.
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question here, is if you think it did a lot of damage to Ali and Kevin Owens to be put in this situation where they are, they have both, over the last few weeks, taken the expected place of Kofi Kingston and drawn the fans' ire as babyfaces for that, if you think the fans will hold that against them in the long term, then I think you can make the argument that it was a poor idea on WWE's part. If you think this is just a short-term thing to get Kofi as over as they can get him before putting him in against Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania so that the WWE title match at WrestleMania is as hot as it can be, sacrificing Owens and Ali in the short term and knowing that their work as babyfaces is good enough that they can overcome that in the long term, then I think you probably are looking at what happened tonight and not taking many issues with it.
Okay. Well, this will go play back to last week. I told you so. You the one who told me.
That's right. I told you to come back on this show if you if you proved me wrong, and here you are, and I'll take it.
But I don't mean to, because it really wasn't exact. It was sort of like how I said it, but not all the way, because they had Kevin Owens to a point, especially when he was interacting with Mustafa Ali. They had him acting like the heel. He was acting, he was jumping from heel to face throughout the whole match, which I was like, even if you're going to try to make him be a babyface, that hurts. Now, with the swerve that you said earlier with Shane McMahon, if you do it correctly, you can make somebody like The Miz look like a babyface. I just didn't understand the whole total booking and still going with a three-way. It's like you're trying to make two more guys heel just because you want to get one person over who's already over as a babyface. That's like the slowest booking ever. I don't understand that. Also, with the women's match, I didn't understand. Okay, I know Ronda wants to get her in the match. Didn't understand why Charlotte didn't attack Ronda for doing that. Why you just let her walk out? And then I wanted to see, did you see the look on Charlotte's face? Like, do I want to be in this three-way match after that happened? I don't know if you've seen that, but I had some thoughts and was thinking that maybe this is where Charlotte bows out, because she can say, well, I have a championship match, but I don't have to have it with the world champion since the other champion doesn't have one. Maybe that's something that they could do potentially because of the look that she gave on her face. I'm just going off a look, but I don't know if you've seen it or not. But what were your thoughts on that whole thing?
So you were saying Charlotte would bow out of the Raw women's title match to challenge Asuka for the SmackDown women's title?
Yeah, so she can have her own one-on-one match, because how she was looking at the end of that match and not even trying to attack Ronda, but she was giving a look like, do I even want to be in this match now? And how slow the ending was, it just don't take if she just continues on in this match and she's not adding anything to it anymore, because now they got heel Ronda. It's like she's not serving a purpose. So I was just going off of that
loop
and seeing it from there.
I think WWE and Vince McMahon are high enough on Charlotte to have put her into this match in the first place, to want her to rub elbows with Ronda Rousey, to put her in a position where she rubs elbows with the hottest thing going in Becky Lynch. So I don't think they take her out of this match to put her in with Asuka, who she really has no story with, although no one really has any story with Asuka at this moment in time, but it would be easier for someone on SmackDown to launch into a story leading to WrestleMania starting as early as Tuesday night on SmackDown. So I think there's enough intrigue with Charlotte's character to keep her in that triple threat and not have her bow out.
Yeah, but it kind of makes, if the promo she comes out and cuts, because it looks like with the noise on Twitter and everything, they're just leaving her out, period. She's in the match, but she has no focus in it. They're talking amongst each other, like me and you having a conversation, and somebody else is in the room with us or in the car, and we're not even paying no attention to them. I know they should feel some type of way, because it's like, wow, I'm sitting here, y'all act like I'm not even here. If they had her come out and say something like that, that's not the heel thing to say. And just, again,
I think that's inherently a difficulty of booking triple threat matches, is you tend to focus on a main beef between two people, and the third person inevitably feels a little shoehorned in. It's tough to tell a good three-way story where everybody's story gets equal time, and where all three people, you know, you set up an angle to do with three people, and it really makes a lot of sense to do that. I think that's why, in general, I'm against triple threat matches, especially for major matches, because it is so difficult to make everyone seem like they are on equal footing.
Yeah, that's my thing too, because it's hard to promote, to me, seem like to promote a three-way match then when you got so much heat with two other people in the match, I'm hoping they could find a way to get her out of it and move her over and give her a great reason to move over because of the story and just how they just killing certain people. Now, to go on the four-way U.S. title match, how did you like that four-way, and do you think this set up Samoa Joe to have a big match maybe against a John Cena or something like that?
Yeah, I really liked it. I think it was a match that probably was competing with Brian versus Ali versus KO for match of the night. It was a really well-worked match. I mean, there's not much else you can say about it. Andrade, Rey, Joe, and Truth are very talented, and they showed it off tonight. I think Joe versus Cena is intriguing for WrestleMania. You know, I looked at R-Truth when he was coming out and doing all of this John Cena tribute spots and the John Cena U.S. Open Challenge on SmackDown, and it felt like Cena was going to come back to face R-Truth at WrestleMania. And then, as you know, I discussed it with Wade Keller on one of his SmackDown post-shows, and he kind of thought that Truth was not worth Cena's time to come back to WrestleMania for. And I get that. And then you look at the title switch to Samoa Joe. And then you look at Joe and say, well, Joe's a little higher on the food chain than R-Truth, even though they were both U.S. champions when we're discussing this idea. Would Joe be a guy who would be a big enough name for John Cena to come back and fight at WrestleMania against? And I think he's certainly a bigger name than R-Truth, and it makes a lot more sense as Joe being a heel and Cena being a babyface for Cena to come back against Joe. You know, if U.S. title is on the line, I don't know if you have Cena lose at WrestleMania again, but I also don't see how you have him win the U.S. title unless you just have him lose it back on SmackDown on Tuesday night, which doesn't really do anything for anybody. So I think the title being on the line makes things a little more difficult booking a finish. But I think, you know, Joe versus Cena is an intriguing matchup for the U.S. title at WrestleMania if that's the kind of match they're looking at for John Cena for Mania.
Yeah, and it never hurts to not have a predictable outcome in that match. And out of all the foes that John Cena has had, I think Joe brings a different type of foe. And you really don't have – what I would love about it is probably they would let John Cena and Samoa Joe handle the storytelling of it, because it looked like that story will be built with might work. And Samoa Joe right now is one of the best on the stick that they have in the whole WWE with that promo that he gave after winning the title. It seemed like he was taking shots at John Cena and just with everything. And just Samoa Joe will be a different type of animal that John Cena hasn't faced before or maybe in a while that might require him, because I know people have a problem with John Cena at times. They say he'd be too funny and be too jokey and like he's not here. But facing someone like Joe, who's not jokey, not going to play around and serious, and they have a history with each other. Let Joe tell the history and John Cena respond, and when John Cena has to respond and cut that promo to make you want to see his matches, he can. And I would love to see a semi-serious John Cena going against a Raven Maniac Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the kind of match that I think John Cena would get motivated for. You know, we've seen in the last couple of comebacks, it feels like he's going through the motions, and it doesn't feel like he's that emotionally invested in. And I understand with all the other outside projects he's got going on, he's probably got a lot on his mind. But I feel like a match against someone the caliber of Joe from a storytelling perspective, from a promo perspective, like you said, I think he could bring the best out of John Cena at this stage of Cena's career.
Yeah, and I think a match like that would add to SmackDown a whole lot, and they're going to Fox, because if you would look at it with what you did tonight with Shane McMahon and Miz, that's a story right now that's probably one of the best told stories, even with the Swerve, one of the best told stories going into Mania. Daniel Bryan and Kofi, even though they killed two other people to get here, That's looking like one of the best told stories. Another SmackDown match. If you can get Samoa Joe versus John Cena, that's give you three big matches that's great storytelling with all the other convoluted stories that they have going on right now in the WWE. I think you need at least one or two of these to have a clear path, because the Universal title story is kind of – they was doing the promos for it throughout the night, but it still seemed kind of off, slow, and not hot. And it's something they look like they're going to have to immediately try to build. I would love for them to have at least two or three stories that they can – that's easy and don't have to have too much hands put in it, like by Vince McMahon.
Right. Yeah, I understand. Anything else tonight for us, Darrell?
No, sir. No, sir. I'll be on listening right for the rest of the show.
Great. Good to talk to you, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, great.
That was Darrell from Georgia. I've got 30504 are the only other two area codes in the queue right now, so there is room. If you'd like to call in and talk, 515-605-9345. Remember to press 1 if you would like to speak with a question or comment. First, we will go to the emails before we get to the rest of the phone calls. Our first email tonight is from JB from Detroit. Hi, Greg. This is JB from Detroit. Just wanted to comment on Braun Strowman's role on the Road to Mania. Keep in mind, I'm sending this before I watch the Fastlane pay-per-view, so I'm assuming he is left off the Fastlane card. With Braun's interaction with the SNL Weekend News Update crew, who were made to seem unlikable to the average wrestling fan, do you think Braun's role at Mania is not a match, but a stunt with the two SNL members? Given that Braun's role at last year's Mania was seemingly more of a stunt than a match when he won the tag title with a child as his partner, I wonder where that leaves Braun in the pecking order. To go to Manias without having a significant spot seems a little odd for what at one time seemed like the number two babyface on Raw. As always, look forward to hearing your thoughts and love the show. Thank you, JB. Love your emails as well. Yeah, Braun Strowman for Mania is a tough nut to crack. He's kind of gotten cold at the wrong time. You know, WrestleMania season, he was hot for parts of 2018. And, you know, aside from the ill-advised heel turn, he was one of the top babyfaces on the Raw brand. And it seems like we're sitting here, you know, 4 weeks out, I think they said tonight on the show, from WrestleMania without anything for Braun Strowman to do, without any real direction. Now, that can change pretty quickly. You've got some heels that were in the main event tonight who don't have a real clear direction either. You've got Drew McIntyre, you've got Elias, you've got Baron Corbin, Lashley. Braun could certainly be in line for an IC title shot. You know, he could go one-on-one with any of those guys, or he could, you know, two-on-one handicap match or something like that with Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush, if that's the direction they choose to go. He could be in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and win that and come out of that with some momentum. But I think if there is somebody who's going to do, you know, the SNL Weekend Update guys, they were announced as being at WrestleMania. Strowman was one of the few wrestlers they interacted with this past weekend on Raw. So I could totally see Braun doing something with them, but I would assume, you know, I'm strained to think of something that could be show long and make it worth Braun's while to do that rather than be in the match. That's not to say they can't come up with something, but if we're talking about a stunt, that would be one short segment of the show. And I don't know if Braun would be better off doing that versus actually doing a match where he wins. So, it's a tough situation for Braun right now. There's no clear path to WrestleMania for him. But again, there are some other guys who find themselves in the same boat, some heels that he could easily match up with. So I don't have a lot of worry about Braun at this point. The next call is from 305. 305 area code. You are on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, what's going on, DJ from Miami?
DJ from Miami. Been a while since we talked to you, DJ. How are you tonight?
I know. I called a couple times and the line was busy. Like, I don't understand. It was so weird.
That is odd. What did you think of Fastlane tonight?
It was pretty decent. It was all right. You know, I got a couple things I was going to say. Sure. The first thing is that, did you see, I don't know if you saw it, but Did you see Kevin Owens? He really almost impaled himself. Did you see he was so close to that table? Like,
was that on the dive
understand.
Outside the ring?
Yes. I was like, oh, my God. I even cursed, like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? Like, and then they did it again. Who did it? Mustafa? Or one of them did it. And I was like, oh, my God, right by the table, too. I don't know. They need to – I don't know. Do you think, like, Vince is seeing that and they need to do something, or they need to push him back? They need to put him in the on the stage again? I mean, something's going to happen because that was super close for Owens.
Yeah, that was. And what's unusual about that is, I mean, that's a dive he does, or dives similar to that he does quite often, and never really has any major issues with it. So it's hard because that just kind of felt like a fluke thing, and you don't want to completely change the game and rearrange things just on a fluke. But yeah, you know, that wasn't the only spot tonight. There were a lot of spots during the matches, whether it was, you know, Shane coming off and drop kicking one of the Usos as he was doing a dive, or Mustafa Ali doing the 450 splash on the apron to Daniel Bryan. There were a lot of eye-opening spots tonight, I thought.
Yeah. I mean, I was just thinking that because I was pretty close, so that's why I was asking. And then my second thing was, now we go into WrestleMania. I mean, I'm pretty sure, you know, Rollins is going to win the belt. Brock will leave, but no, this is the question: does Rollins go heel, or does Reigns go heel? Because I feel like Rollins go heel again, but Rollins just became everybody's favorite, you know, like, you know what I mean, the golden boy again. So it's like are they gonna do the Ambrose to him, like, ugh, you're gonna go heel after,
so,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, the assumption you're making then, DJ, is Rollins wins the Universal title at WrestleMania and Roman Reigns
right.
becomes his first challenger,
right? Because who else?
Yeah,
I mean, if Brock's leaving, Who's next in line?
Yeah.
I mean, you like you
well,
just said earlier, Braun is very cold. So
yeah.
Right there, I see Reigns. Bam. I don't mm-hmm. see anybody else right there. I mean, who are they gonna bring? Corbin? I'm sick of Corbin. You know what I mean?
But my thought tonight at one point, DJ, was Drew McIntyre. You know, if they could in the next 4 weeks heat him up. And, you know, give him a big win, whether it's in the Andre Battle Royal, whether it's in a singles match
right.
or something at WrestleMania, I think Drew McIntyre could make for a really good challenger to Seth Rollins.
Soon? But do you think it's too soon for Drew McIntyre to win the belt anytime soon, though?
Well, I'm not
think
saying
he still
I'm not
the
saying...
way to go.
I'm not saying he has to win the belt. I'm saying he could provide a
right.
challenger to Seth Rollins.
Right,
and a credible one at that.
Owens?
Well,
no,
I mean.
You see what I'm saying?
So, you know,
do what people really want him to do already? And because think about it. I think this is what happened. If we go into WrestleMania, right? Dean's leaving. Guess what? Roman should hit the super punch on Dean and him, showing him, hey, I want this. What I had to was this, I lost because of this is where I'm back. That's what I think it should happen.
Well, you're projecting a long way out. So if you're saying, okay, McIntyre versus Rollins after WrestleMania, let's say that's a 1-2 month feud, you're now projecting
right.
from where we are tonight 3 months out. And we know in wrestling a lot can happen in 3 months. So you could do another Braun Strowman heel turn. I mean, that's something that I think
that's what
you
I
could do
see.
That far out. You know, you could also do, I'm not against Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins, but I think you could do a Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins babyface versus babyface match. And I don't think
you're
you
right,
need to turn
right.
either of them heel. I don't think it would be a good idea to turn either of them
right.
heel.
I just feel like Cody will go heel because of Dean's leaving. You know, that's why I was asking, you know?
Yeah, Dean leaving, he leaves a hole in the upper card, but I don't know
now,
if it's a hole big
wait,
enough.
Let me ask you a turn, though. Let me ask you one turn on that part. Now, do you think, I'm just asking for real, now this would be a good idea. Do you think it would be awesome to bring somebody from NXT to bring a new S.H.I.E.L.D. member in, or do you think, hey, we should just kill the S.H.I.E.L.D., that's it?
I think you got to let the S.H.I.E.L.D. go. That, yeah, bringing someone in, it will feel less authentic. Because remember, the story of the S.H.I.E.L.D. was these were three guys who were the best of friends, who worked their way up from NXT, who were, you know, watching each other's backs. They traveled together. That was the story. If you bring
right.
somebody else up from NXT, all of a sudden, the story that made the original S.H.I.E.L.D. what it was, it's not there anymore. And it feels a lot more inauthentic. There's not that closeness. There's not that bond among the three
right.
that there was with it.
I was just curious because, you know, everybody's doing the Bull Club, CX. You know what I mean? They all do it. Bray Wyatt. You know what I mean? They all do
yeah.
it. So I was asking, do you ever think that would ever happen ever just to keep the S.H.I.E.L.D. going? That's all. And then I guess my other two things are really quick is I don't know. I can't believe that King Kong Bundy died. Do you know how he died? And I don't understand. Do you think they're going to put him in the Hall of Fame? Do you think? I mean, Bam Bam Bigelow needs to go in. He used to live in right there. You know. And, you know what I mean? I mean, and then
yeah,
the other
it was,
thing is, I don't know.
Well, let me speak on that, and then I'll throw it back to you, DJ.
Okay.
I think it was really sad that I don't know how Bundy died. I think it was sad
okay.
that he didn't have the opportunity to go in the Hall of Fame while he was alive because,
yeah.
you know, that's really what the Hall of Fame is about. It's about, and I tweeted this
yeah.
earlier in the week at Greg M. Parks. You can follow me there. I tweeted that, you know, the Hall of Fame is really about giving these legends one more victory lap as a WWE performer, letting them stand in front of the audience one more time and sort of reflect on their career. And Bundy was a guy who, for whatever reason,
yeah.
had not been someone who had made frequent appearances back in WWE over the years.
You've
seen a laundry list
thing.
Of legends who have come back at various times in WWE for one-off appearances, and Bundy hadn't been that guy. So I think there was some intrigue in seeing him back in WWE at a Hall of Fame-type ceremony, and the fact that he didn't get the opportunity to do that I think is pretty sad.
I heard that it was because of the lawsuit thing with, you know, with the, you know, that's what I heard. Like his name was on the list of, you know, concussions and stuff.
It might have been. I'm not sure. There was a lot of people on that list. I'd have to go back and check, but you could be right
that's
there.
That's what I heard because that's why Demolition's not in either.
Yeah.
You know, because of
yeah.
that. So that's why
yeah.
I put like Bundy because, you know, and I know Bundy brought big money back in the day. And, you know, even John Big John Studd, what did he do? He's not in. That pisses me off, too. You know, like, I don't understand. What are they doing?
I thought Studd was in. I thought he was a really early.
Nope.
Okay.
Never went in.
Interesting.
The Killer
yeah,
Bees. There's so many people who hasn't been in.
Well,
you know what I mean?
DJ,
Rick
here's
Martel,
the thing.
Like, what are you doing?
DJ, I understand, but here's the thing. WWE has lots and lots of years
I know.
To induct people.
I know.
So,
I
no,
know,
they do need
like
people for
know.
The future. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a thing.
By the way,
that...
DJ, by the way, to I just Wikipedia'd Big John Studd, class of 2004
okay.
in the WWE Hall of Fame.
I swear I don't remember. I even looked. It didn't say. I don't
2004,
remember.
Yep.
Crazy. Huh. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago. Wow. Okay, cool. I didn't know 15 that.
15 years now, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yep.
Okay. And then my last thing is real quick. Do you think now that that Luke Perry passed, do you think that Jungle Boy will get a push? Or where do you think he'll go from here? Do you think he'll stop? Or what do you think? And that's it. And hopefully I'll talk
all
to
right,
you
DJ.
Next month.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling again. Good to talk to you once again. Jungle Boy, I think he's – he's one of the hotter independent names, even though he's been wrestling for a very short time. And part of that could be that he's Luke Perry's son. But part of that is, I think that he's really garnered a following and has impressed a lot of people. And I think that's the reputation that's going to continue him forward. I don't see him stopping because of his father's passing. Over the next year, he's one of the top independent guys in America that I think we need to keep our eye on as far as getting recognition either in PWG or maybe AEW, somewhere like that. Some of the bigger independent companies I think he'll make his way towards. So good to talk to DJ again. And we'll go to the phones. 904, you are up. 904, please state your name, where you're calling from.
Yo, what's up? This is Jackie from Jacksonville, up in here. First of all, if you don't mind, can you read that email I just sent you?
I will bring it up as soon as I can.
All right.
I don't have it. I only have one more email that I received earlier in the evening, so I don't have yours in the inbox right now, Jackie.
Ah, damn. Well, anyway, check this. Matter of fact, refresh that inbox and you should be able to find it.
Well, Jackie, I'm looking at it right now, WNIALivecast@gmail.com, and I've got nothing. Sorry. But luckily you're on the air, so you can tell me what you wanted to email me.
Okay. Matter of fact, let me go. You know, I got to read it more script for script, but what the hell? Hold on. Anyway, check this. I said, hey, this is Jackie from Jacksonville, and truthfully, I think that John Cena should have another WWE title shot. And truthfully, if WWE does anything with Cena, they need to put him in the WWE title picture because Cena is a former world champion. Also, as far as Dave Bautista and Triple H goes, WWE should make a WrestleMania 21 rematch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well,
my whole thing is.
Jackie, the trouble with putting John Cena in a WWE title match, so many people know that he's not really in WWE for the long term. I don't know if people would buy him at this stage of his career as a real contender to win the title because he's been off TV for so long. Plus, I think, you know, with the story they're telling with Kofi Kingston, he's got to be the guy at this point. For all the strings they pulled tonight at Fastlane, I think he's got to be the guy who's challenging Daniel Bryan in a one-on-one match, although now Kevin Owens has a claim to another title shot based on him not getting pinned in the triple threat. But I think it's got to be Kofi versus D-Bry at WrestleMania in a one-on-one WWE title match.
All right.
Are you not on board with Kofi Kingston getting a title match?
I mean, hey, first off, Kingston, I really wouldn't mind because, shoot, I mean, truthfully, he would be somewhat like, what, the second, maybe third black wrestler to become a WWE champion?
Yeah, if he were to win, yeah.
Well, yeah. And truthfully, like I said, the whole thing with Triple H and Batista, because I think like what, last Monday night on Raw or something like that, when Ric Flair had his birthday party and all that crap, Batista came and attacked the Nature Boy. If my memory served me right, shoot, truthfully, Batista and Triple H, they ought to take their feud up to on WrestleMania. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think, I kind of poo-pooed your Cena idea, Jackie, but I think you're right on target with Batista versus Triple H. That, you know, given what happened 2 weeks ago at Ric Flair's birthday celebration, given Triple H's very strong comments against Batista Monday night on Raw this past week, given that Batista will be on Raw tomorrow night to confront Triple H or for them to have some sort of confrontation, I think that's the exact direction they're going. With Triple H's injury, with Batista not having wrestled in a long time, I wonder what kind of match they'll have. I wonder if WWE puts any stipulations forward on the match to sort of guys the shortcomings that these guys might have at their age and at the stage of their careers. But yeah, I definitely think that's the direction they're heading with Triple H and Batista.
Hmm. I mean, truthfully, hell. Matter of fact, okay, what up with, wait a minute, what the hell are they going to do with my boy Randy Orton this time?
Randy Orton versus AJ Styles, how does that sound?
Cool. For the title?
Awesome. Probably
wait.
No title on the line. Yeah. Oh,
man. That is not cool. Let me see some Orton AJ Styles. That match is cool, but it'd be even way more better with a title on the line. Way
and, you know,
better.
That could happen down the line. You know, Styles could eventually get the title back, and Randy Orton could eventually challenge for that title. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. You might see, you know, when we get to the post-WrestleMania, the draft lottery that they do, and Orton could end up being moved to Raw. And, you know, this goes back to what I was talking about with DJ looking for an opponent for Seth Rollins. It could be somebody not even on the Raw roster right now. It could be a Randy Orton who gets drafted to Raw, or someone else, another heel who gets drafted from SmackDown to Raw, that could challenge Seth Rollins in the post WrestleMania landscape on Raw. So there is still hope for Randy Orton yet, Jackie.
Cool. Matter of fact, but you know what I really would like to see one day as far as like WWE wrestling and all that would go? I'd like to see another company invade WWE like how WCW did back in the day. Oh, wait. No, wait. WWE invaded WCW. But you get my point. Like, take TNA Wrestling, for instance. They got all of the old wrestlers from WWE. My thing is, what TNA need to do, they need to go invade WWE and do like a WWE TNA world, like how they did with WCW and whatnot back in the day. Oh yeah, and matter of fact, and speaking of, shoot, if that actually do happen for real, hopefully, I hope Eric Bischoff be the ringleader in that crowd, because truthfully, don't Eric Bischoff own part of TNA with what his name? Not Ted Turner, but what's his name?
I think you're a little behind the curve on Impact Wrestling, Jackie. Eric Bischoff no longer has anything to do with Impact. They've actually jettisoned a lot of the WWE Monday Night era talent, and it is a real completely different product now than probably the one you're thinking of from several years ago.
I mean, I think last time I did watch TNA, that was like back in 2009. I don't even remember.
That's 10 years ago, Jackie. That's a long time in wrestling.
Pretty much. I mean, but like I said, the only thing in them is Orton and Cena. Other than that, no. Like, they need to tighten up with their storyline, all of that, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, because truthfully, if it was me, and if I was one of the creators or whatever at WWE Developmental and all that, personally, I'd tell Vince McMahon, get the stepping.
Well, it unfortunately for you, you would probably be the one stepping, because it is still Vince's company, and he has the say. So, I don't know, Jackie. It's not looking good if your favorites are Randy Orton and John Cena. They may not have much time left in the ring, so I don't know. Maybe start looking for some new, younger talent that you can become a fan of.
I mean, AJ Styles, he cool. Now him, let me see something. I'd say him, Samoa Joe. Let me see, who else? Kingston,
yeah.
And matter of fact, hold up. See, that's like some of the talent, that young talent that I knew, WWE, they done released all of them, like Ted DiBiase Jr., Cody Rhodes, Goldust. Let's see who else. Let me see who else. Oh, damn. I think that's just about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's something to take a lot more of an eye on how they book guys and how they treat guys. You know, we've heard guys wanting to request their release and things like that. And if AEW comes up and poses a serious challenge to WWE, I think they will make it more of a point than they've made it in the recent past to make more stars and book guys a lot better than they have in the past. So, Jackie, good to talk to you as always. Thanks for calling, and hope you're calling again sometime soon.
All right. Peace out.
Always an adventure with Jackie from Jacksonville. So we have 508 next up in the queue if you'd like to call. That's the last phone call we have up. So 515-605-9345 is the number to dial. Remember to press 1 if you'd like to chat. But before we get to 508, we will take our last email question of the evening, wnialivecast@gmail.com. Anytime you see something on Raw and SmackDown, you're not able to call in Sunday nights when we have Wrestling Night in America or afraid you're going to forget something that you want to bring up, you can email us anytime and we'll get to it on the next show. So this is an email from Brian. He says, thanks for the great job you do for The Torch. I find your show interesting and informing. Thank you, Brian. His first question, do you think there is any chance we'll get the Hardys versus the Usos at WrestleMania for the titles? I could definitely get behind that match and think it could be great with the proper buildup. I think at this point in their career, Matt and Jeff as a tag team is probably how to best utilize them. I don't think it's best to utilize them as a singles where there could be the possibility of more wear and tear on their body. Both of them are, you know, breaking down after years of the kinds of styles that they've wrestled. So to preserve them and to get more mileage out of them in the future, I think the way to go is a tag team. And I think they have the ability to give the SmackDown tag division credibility if they're not moved over to Raw after WrestleMania. But yeah, after, you know, leading up to WrestleMania, I think the Hardys versus the Usos is the way to go. I think you have a team from the previous generation in the Hardys who can still go. And you have a team, maybe the team of the current generation, which is the Usos, who've been together for, it's hard to believe, but longer than I think any other tag team on the national scene or very close to that. So, you know, full time, that is, at least in the modern era. So, you know, I think that's a real fun tag team match that could have some good build. You look at the other tag teams on SmackDown, and nothing really stands out unless you go Ricochet, Aleister Black, and have them come over to SmackDown and be involved in the SmackDown tag title scene at WrestleMania. Or you could do a three-way with Black and Ricochet and the Hardys and the Usos. You know, WWE at WrestleMania likes to get as many wrestlers involved on the main card as they can, and what that usually means is for the secondary titles, that those are the titles that you see, the triple threats and the fatal four-ways. So I wouldn't completely rule that out. But I think if the SmackDown from a couple of weeks ago where the Hardys returned as a tag team is any indication, that seems to be the direction. And again, I think it's best for the Hardys. I think it's best for WWE at this point, to where they're treated like a big deal, which they would be treated like in the tag division rather than as singles wrestlers where they may end up getting lost in the mid-card shuffle. So I think that is really the best use of them at this point. Question number two from Brian. My theory on the three-way women's main event at WrestleMania is that not only does it allow Ronda to drop the belt without losing the match, but it allows WWE to move her to SmackDown in the draft to be the cornerstone of SmackDown on Fox. She can then face Asuka, assuming she wins tonight, which she did, upon her return at SummerSlam, then face Becky, champ versus champ at Survivor Series, then Charlotte at next year's WrestleMania. Royal Rumble could be the oft-mentioned horsewomen versus horsewomen match, if written smartly, ambitious, yes. But what a great long storyline. What are your thoughts? Sent at 7:34 because I won't see the pay-per-view until tomorrow. Hopefully the Usos and Asuka retain. Have a great night. Usos and Asuka did retain, so Brian will enjoy watching the pay-per-view when he gets to it tomorrow. So, yeah, you know, the thing is always going to be Ronda Rousey and how long she sticks around, because there was that report that she was going to be leaving after WrestleMania, or would maybe her schedule would decrease after WrestleMania. But as Brian presented here, there is enough storyline juice to get her to next year's WrestleMania. So it'll be interesting to see, because she's got the one-on-one with Becky Lynch. She's got a one-on-one with Charlotte Flair, as Brian mentioned. She's still got the horsewoman deal if WWE goes in that direction, which I'm not sold that they are, but you know, that's, you know, we're talking 6 months, a year down the line. So certainly anything could happen for that. And you got a Rousey versus Asuka, as mentioned by Brian here. So yeah, there's still, WWE has done a nice job, because we're a year out of Ronda being a full-time wrestler. And there are still so many, you could argue, money matchups for her that could take you for the next calendar year. And that's what's really interesting about the Ronda thing. The move to SmackDown, again, that's going to be dependent upon Ronda's schedule. You know, is she going to be around long-term after WrestleMania? Or is she going to take a break and then come back at some point in the fall, maybe? Maybe her return could coincide with SmackDown on Fox. But I think what's going to be interesting, regardless of Ronda Rousey and what happens with her, although she's a part of this, is just what the draft lottery is going to look like, because this is going to be the last time, unless WWE, you know, mucks up the rules and kind of makes them up as they go along, which they've done before. But the draft lottery after WrestleMania is going to be the last time WWE is going to be able to reset the rosters before their debut on Fox in October. So I think we're going to get a good sense of what WWE wants SmackDown to look like on Fox, and who they feel are going to be the draws for that. And it's going to be interesting to scour these rosters after the draft lottery. And the thing about this is the draft lottery probably happens in April. That's still several months, 6 months before they go to work on Fox. It's not like draft lottery, boom, next week, that's the roster they take into Fox. So there's going to be even a lot of jockeying for position on that SmackDown brand for the 6 months. And WWE has to be careful, and in those 6 months, not run through those money matches with the top tier players on SmackDown and try to save them for either TV on SmackDown on Fox or, the pay-per-views that they may better be able to advertise, or at least advertise to more eyeballs in theory on Fox in the fall. So draft lottery, as Brian mentioned, is going to be one to keep an eye on for a number of reasons. And that's just one of them. We now go to our final call of the evening, 508 area code, 508. You're on Wrestling Night in America. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, Greg. This is Raphael from New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Excellent, Raphael. Good to talk to you again. What's on your mind tonight pertaining to Fastlane?
So, all in all, I enjoyed the show. The Shane McMahon Hail turn I thought was well done. Mandy Rose looked pretty good in her matchup with Asuka. I mentioned last time that I wasn't too excited about Kofi versus Bryant. That changed. I'm digging it now. Samoa Joe got his first win since June 4th of 2017 on a pay-per-view, so I'm happy about that.
Oh, that's crazy.
And but the main thing I'm calling about is what previous guest said, that they think Rollins will win the Universal title at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. I actually don't think so, and I'll tell you why real quick. So, the three major matches are the WWE Championship match, Raw Women's Championship, and Universal title. If they go with Kofi, I'm pretty sure they're going to have to pull the trigger with him. That would be a good feel-good moment. Becky clearly has to win the Raw Women's title. And then I don't think they're going to do all three feel-good moments. And Brock Lesnar, if my suspicions are correct, he's slated for a July 6th MMA fight with current UFC heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier, which is International Fight Week, their second biggest event of the year. So he still has time to drop it in the next pay-per-view, maybe with something to do with Reigns in there. but I have a strong inclination that Rollins won't win. And last thing, what do you think? Who do you think Rollins will? Who do you think Reigns will match up with? Because he clearly has to be on the card. He's one of the biggest superstars.
Yeah. Well, first, let me take your first point about Brock Lesnar winning at Mania. It's an interesting theory. You know, my initial thought with Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan, I thought, okay, you can give Kofi that spot, but I don't think he has to win at WrestleMania. I think Daniel Bryan can win, and I think the fans would just appreciate Kofi being in that position. Being in a WWE title match at WrestleMania, I think, would be signal enough to the fans that, hey, we got it. You know, we're putting Kofi in a very prominent position. You know, we've heard you. The more the time passes, I really begin to wonder about that, and I really begin to see the groundswell for Kofi, and you hear the reaction tonight, and I'm thinking, man, if he doesn't win at Mania, that could be a bad sign for the crowd. So, you know, I think you're onto something, Raphael, with that. I think the more that I see of the storyline and the more that things progress, I think the more I'm convinced that Kofi maybe does have to win at WrestleMania. But I don't think necessarily that, and I agree that Becky Lynch should win, but I don't think the idea that because Becky and Kofi win, it makes it less likely for Rollins to win. It would be a lot of major title changes, certainly, and it would be a big switch to some to very big baby faces going over there at WrestleMania. But I think that's kind of what you use WrestleMania for, and I think you want to get the fans excited coming out of WrestleMania, because traditionally, aside from the Raw after WrestleMania, there's a big post-WrestleMania lull with viewership, with subscription numbers on the WWE Network, with everything like that. If you put the titles around Kofi and Rollins and Becky, three of your biggest baby faces and three of the people on your roster that fans have the biggest connection with, I think maybe you bleeding a little bit with the drop-off of viewers that you have after WrestleMania. So I wouldn't say that because Becky and Kofi win necessarily that Rollins has to lose. Any follow-up on that you want to talk about before I take your second point about Reigns in WrestleMania?
Yeah. So another thing is it would make like a good storyline-wise if let's just say my theory pans out. Lesnar beats Rollins the next night on Raw. Heyman could come out and say Brock beat all three members of the Shield, and like set up this, you know, do or die for like Rollins, or Reigns could hop in there. They could kind of do a triple threat or something like that. And then just to go back, when's the last time all like baby faces who like won the belt at one night, won WrestleMania?
Well, I don't have that information off the top of my head, but just because it's been a long time or has never been done doesn't mean it can't be done. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just like spitballing right here,
yeah.
But
no doubt. Yeah. You know, as for your second point, Roman Reigns, I agree. I think he's got to have something for WrestleMania. This sort of fell into WWE's lap just at the right time, where it's not too late to get a program started for him at WrestleMania, and it's not too early to have the fans burned out on him by WrestleMania time either. You know, and I think it's the same, you know, when I went back and I talked about, you know, possible heels that Braun Strowman could face at WrestleMania. I think that list is the same for Roman Reigns. I think you could have him against McIntyre. I think you could have him against Baron Corbin. I think you could have him against Bobby Lashley for maybe a secondary title. So there are, you know, these are not guys that are going to really excite you to see Roman Reigns in a one-on-one match against these guys. But, you know, Roman's not being asked to carry the water for WrestleMania this year, because of the leukemia and because of WWE not knowing when or if he'd be back by the time WrestleMania rolled around. They had to plan the show without him in mind. So you have Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar. You have Daniel Bryan, presumably, versus Kofi Kingston. You have some other major matches, Batista versus Triple H on the show. And, you know, I think certainly you want Roman on the show, but he doesn't have to be in a major match. And, you know, my fandom of Drew McIntyre is coming out on this show because I advocated for him being the first contender to face Seth Rollins after WrestleMania if Rollins wins the Universal title. And I think he'd be a very good choice to face Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. I think McIntyre's arrow is pointing up, despite him being involved in, you know, this deal with Baron and Bobby Lashley, which sort of drags Drew down to their level a little bit. But, you know, I think that would be a good match for both of those two guys. And, you know, I think that's the one, if I'm looking at the Raw roster right now, the one guy that I would be interested to see Roman Reigns face at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I would be pretty excited about that matchup, too.
Well, anything else for us tonight, Raphael?
Nope, that's it. And again, thank you for having me on, and keep up the good work.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling, Raphael. Look forward to hearing from you in the future. And just a reminder to everybody, usually Sunday nights at Wrestling Night in America, we go on the air at 8 p.m. Eastern for about 90 minutes, give or take, with a co-host that is a member of the PWTorch.com family, usually a contributor that I like to have and kind of bounce ideas off of and discuss the latest big shows in professional wrestling with. So that will be for the next 3 weeks. That will be the schedule. We'll have somebody on co-hosting, and then, of course, WrestleMania night. I will be taking your phone calls, your emails after WrestleMania goes off the air because that's what we do every Sunday. If it's not a WWE or Impact Wrestling pay-per-view evening, we go on the air at 8 p.m. Eastern and take your calls. But if there is a pay-per-view like there was tonight with Fastlane, we go on the air right after the show goes off the air, taking your calls and thoughts on the program. So keep that in mind for the coming weeks. If you have any questions or comments about the big shows in pro wrestling, which is our focus here on Wrestling Night in America, that goes for AEW, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, MLW, ROH, cover a wide swath of promotions on Wrestling Night in America. And every week there's always a big show to talk about, so we never run out of events to talk about. So keep that in mind as well. And you know, we are here on PWTorchDailyCast.com. And if you are not a member of PW Torch or PWTorch.com, I highly recommend it. And PWTorchVIPinfo.com is where you can go to sign up. So that does it for me, Greg Parks, here on Sunday, May 10th. It has just turned over to Monday, May 11th. So happy Monday, everybody. And hope to talk to some of you again next time. We'll be back next Sunday because if it's Sunday, it's Wrestling Night in America.